So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
It's great to be back with you. I've been down and out the last couple of days. If you've noticed, I've been out sick. You know, it's always fascinating to me how guilty we feel often for taking sick days. It is fascinating to me because as a culture, we live in this culture where progress is everything. And if you're not keeping up, if you're not on top of everything, if you're not doing your job that you do when you go to work, that you're not doing the right thing. Yet at the same time, we forget our greatest job as human beings is to take care of ourselves and those people entrusted to us. And so anyways, it's been a good reminder for me the last few days, coincidentally, as I've been working through this sore throat and losing my voice. At the same time, my baby girl has been teething as well. As they say, when it rains, it pours. So it's made for a fun week, to say the least. But it's great to be with you. And coming up today on the show, boy, do we have a lot to talk about. You know, that's always a challenge when I'm away for a few days. What do I actually want to talk about? Because I've missed so much. But I'm sure you know it's Pride Month, and I feel like Pride Month is back with a vengeance this year. Why? Well, Pride Month in its exterior celebration was not celebrated last year as people would have liked because of COVID. And so I feel like it's back and it is here to get all of us. So we're going to be discussing how we should respond as Catholics to Pride Month. I think that these are some really practical things that all of us can work through. If you'd like to join the conversation, maybe you have a question or challenging experience you found yourself in this Pride Month, let me know. We can work through it. The number's 1-888-914-9149. You can also reach out on Instagram. Find me at Timory, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. All links to social media are at relevantradio.com/trending under that contact button. I'd love to hear from you. I put a question box up. If you have a question or comment live during the show, I'd love to take it, whether you call us or comment there. We're also going to be discussing how vaccine side effects have left many women wondering why the pill, that is the birth control pill, isn't safer. We'll also discuss common health impacts of the pill and what you should know, whether it's something that you've been exposed to or you know someone and want to have kind of a few things up your sleeve, apart from giving the Catholic objections to being on the pill. Also today, you may have heard the news about a viral valedictorian speech of a high school female who did a switcheroo on her high school and in fact completely changed her speech and has shocked many, made many very happy, and has really made many very upset and concerned. What did she say? Why is it so controversial? Why did it go viral? I'll share that with you and more because it's something that all of us should be aware of and we should know how to respond to. Also with that, the question is, does abortion prevent women from chasing their dreams? Does pregnancy prevent women from chasing their dreams? Does childhood prevent women from chasing their dreams? We'll be touching that and more today on Trending. It's great to be with you. Great to be back. I want to start by discussing Pride Month. If you have a question, the number is 1-888-914-9149. Well, here we are, 2021, and it is Pride Month. Okay, so I have a really funny story. So as Catholics, we know that the rainbow is a sign of what? God's covenant to the people that he would never send another flood to destroy the earth. The rainbow is also a beautiful sign that we see in the sky, which is that sign that God made after a glorious rainstorm as the sun is peeking through the clouds and we see this rainbow. Maybe if you were like me as a kid, we'd always convince my mom to chase the end of the rainbow to find that pot of gold at the end, and her always loving and amusing her kids was willing to go there. Now, because of that, we grew up, many of us, with not really being familiar with this gay pride parade all around us and some of the symbols. I mean, that's how much things have really changed over the last 25 years or so. So we grew up driving a minivan, and we loved going to Disneyland. We go to Disneyland all the time, and at the time, Disneyland became very vocal about Gay Pride Day in June. You kind of learned don't go to Disneyland on that day, because not only was it a day where a lot of people were out there promoting LGBTQ rights, but it was also a day where it was almost like a public exhibition of physical interaction between people of the same sex, and it would be shocking. So a place, the magical place for kids, became a no-no on that one day every June. Well, little did we know that they had really already been promoting gay pride themselves with a rainbow antenna ball for the car. Now, we didn't know this. We love the rainbow. We love Disneyland. We always had a Disney antenna ball on our car. When you still had antennas on your car, who has an antenna on their car anymore? Okay, so our car, we ended up sporting a rainbow Disney antenna ball on our car for years, okay? For years. And I remember some of my cousins, I was really young, would beg my mom to change the antenna ball. And I was like, what? We love the antenna ball. What's the big deal? And we had no idea. And one day, all of a sudden, one of my cousins comes out to the car and says, hey, look, we changed your antenna ball. And all of a sudden, it was like this super classic, you know, black and red and blue Disneyland Mickey antenna ball. And I was like, why? I love the antenna ball that I have. I've had it for years. Like, well, we didn't want to tell you this, but I don't know if you know, but that promotes the LGBTQ agenda. And I remember my mom at the same point was both horrified and at the same time thinking, well, the rainbow is Christian. The rainbow is a fundamental part of our faith and a covenant that God gave to us. And so there's this desire, I think, so often for many of us to reclaim the rainbow. Well, it's always belonged to us, but sometimes signs and symbols that we use as people of faith can be construed by the culture and perceived in a different way. And so I think we do have a responsibility to be careful with what signs and symbols we have now. And that's a challenge. I remember my sister in high school, she loves the rainbow, thought it's something beautiful. She's like, I'm going to have this awesome foam screen that has a rainbow on it. She said, I don't care what people think. Sure enough, so many people harassed her about, you go, girl, that's so awesome. I didn't know that you were for LGBTQ rights. And after, I don't know if it was a couple days, a couple weeks of so many people being pro-LGBTQ and thinking she was too, that she gave up on the rainbow. You see, that's the challenge today. So many restaurants, bars, and stores today are hanging their flags in solidarity with the LGBTQ rights movement. And the question is this, what do we do? What do we do? I want to start out on a very practical way, addressing the issue of homosexuality, but really addressing it big picture before we get into those challenging circumstances. And maybe you have a question or a comment, you can give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149, or go ahead and comment on my Instagram story where I have the option for you to leave a question there. I know a lot of questions are coming in on Instagram. So here's the deal. There are three important things I think we need to focus on this Pride Month. One, it's about kids and what's best for kids. We're going to address that. Two, this is about people, not just sex lives, which is what mainstream media tends to turn it into. And three, all of us should be able to make conscionable objections to some of what's happening during Pride Month in the businesses that we support and the companies that we work for. So first is, I think, the most important thing. This really is about kids and what's best for kids. You might say, hold on, Timory, you're talking about Pride Month. I am talking about Pride Month. But here's the deal. Kids have a right to a mother and a father. To a mother and a father. They have a biological, very simple, human, natural right to mom and dad. And so when we go around promoting this LGBTQ agenda, what's happening is we're actually taking basic rights from kids and we're confusing kids about themselves, their bodies, and their parentage. And this is very important because what's happening is we're forcing adult agendas and politics on the backs of children. How is that being done? Well, we're brainwashing them brainwashing kids literally through school curriculum. We're actually scandalizing children and denying them their innocence. And we're also denying children who have been placed for adoption the rights to a mother and a father. Now, this one is really upsetting along with all the others to me, but to understand this for just a moment, I've worked for years in the crisis pregnancy center system in front of the abortion clinic, and I've seen countless women heroically choose adoption when they're told, you can't take care of your baby, we know you want your baby, but you don't want someone else to take care of your baby, just have an abortion. Because a lot of women choose abortion because they don't want someone else to take care of their babies. But then there are a lot of women who say, I can't take care of my baby. I want my baby to have the best life possible. I want my baby to have a mother and a father because I can't give that to my baby because of these circumstances. Well, what's happening today is that adoption agencies are placing babies with couples who are outwardly practicing gay lifestyles, who we're seeing a little girl is going and being placed, or a little boy, with two, quote, moms, or two, quote, dads. But what happened is this totally disregards the intentions of the parent, the birth parents, who were giving up their children, essentially. And I think that this is really important for us to acknowledge, because this whole Pride Month issue is about kids. I want to give you just a simple example of this, actually. Two examples. One, you may remember at least a show from my childhood, was the Disney's Proud Family. And the Proud Family was this great, rambunctious family. You may remember Sugar Mama and some of the other great characters. Well, they're rebooting this Disney show, animated show, and now it's going to feature a kids show, two dads. It's going to feature gay characters. Another example of this is the Blue's Clues song that has all to do with the gay parade, drag queen, and so much more. And let's just show you a brief example of the sing-along song that they're literally teaching kids to sing along to this month on Blue's Clues. Check it out.
It's time for a pride parade. Families marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. This family has two mommies. They love each other so proudly. And they all go marching in the big parade. Families marching two by two, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching two by two, hurrah, hurrah. This family has two daddies. They love each other so proudly, and they all go marching.
Okay, can I just tell you something? I was singing this song after it played, and I knew it was wrong. Because it's so catchy, it's so cheerful, especially as I've been here sick, and I'm like trying to like save my voice and not talk, and then here's this song that's so catchy, and it's made for a kid, but here it has me, an adult, singing along to it. And yes, I know that one of my producers may have grown up on Blue's Clues. I totally rejected it. I won't oust which one of my producers that is. I'll oust my sister, but I was not quite the Blue's Clues. I was just a tad bit older for it. I think I did play a Blue's Clues game. Anyway, I digress. Blue's Clues is forcing this agenda about two mommies and two daddies and how that's perfectly fine. Wrong. Children have a natural biological right to a mother and a father. And even placement with regard to adoption agencies should continue to respect that right. It's so important. And you see, this is how big of a deal it is. It's on Nickelodeon. It's on Disney. It's in so many different kids' television shows today. Even I think the reboot of the DuckTales. I think that was another one that we talked about earlier last year where they're also pushing this agenda on kids. We have to provide a very, very clear message to children. And kids can understand this. Tell your kids that they have a right to their mom and dad. That they have a right to their mom and dad also being together. This is why watching what enters your home is so important. It's creating confusion and lies to children that have long-term consequences. The studies and the research is clear. Children need their moms and dads. Moms and dads biologically, physically, intellectually, emotionally, complementarity, everything provide children with a rounded and important education that kids need from both a male and female perspective. Stop brainwashing kids in school. Stop denying kids their innocence by these rampantly sexual activities and programs for kids as young as kindergartners, and stop denying children the placement in homes of mothers and fathers. This whole Pride Month is about kids, and they're trying to focus on kids with this agenda. And just one example of that, also to understand, I was shopping the other day, and here we are, right, approaching Pride Month, and sure enough, so many stores are actually supporting and donating to LGBTQ causes. For example, Banana Republic, Gap, Adidas, Bath & Body Works, Apple, Disney, and a bunch of other places, they'll offer you the opportunity to make a donation when you check out. And that donation, for example, GLSEN, G-L-S-E-N, is all about educating with regard to LGBTQ issues. So be careful where you donate to when it comes time. And I'll mention a few areas that are not supporting Pride Month in just a little bit, because I know we had a couple questions come in about that. And maybe you know some. Let me know. I have a couple great solutions here that we can talk about. So the first thing, again, as I mentioned, how do we respond as Catholics to this whole Pride Month issue? Number one, it's about kids. And I just explained to you why. Number two, this is about people, not just someone's sex life. I'm so sick of this LGBTQ agenda reducing someone to their sexual interaction. And here's a great example of that. There has been this intensity of a demand that LGBTQ people are represented in television shows and movies. But the sad part is that when they are represented in movies, most of their lines have to do with their sexual exploits and not them as talented human beings and the great things that they accomplish. That's the problem. And I think that a really good example of people backlashing over this whole Pride Parade idea was NFL great player Herschel Walker. His son, Christian Walker, is outwardly gay, but he objects to Pride Parades. And he actually refers to them as sex cults, and he talks about some of the outrageous and inappropriate things that occur at Pride Parades that, by the way, the gay pride movement is encouraging kids go to. Things that are absolutely unacceptable and outright scandalous. And he's basically emphasizing in a tweet, and I posted it on social media, it's a little bit intense, which is why we're not playing it here, but he emphasizes, don't reduce a person to their sexual behavior. This is so important. And that's one of the problems with Pride Month. And again, it comes back to this whole idea that the TV examples being set, the Pride Parade cults, the online glitter families. If you don't know what a glitter family is, that's when someone says, well, I'm starting to be confused about my sexuality. And then all of a sudden, all these people on social media say, come out, we accept you, we love you, we'll take care of you. And then the person comes out and two things happen. One, that person's either groomed into a very sexually explicit lifestyle, often including an adult and a minor. But two, what also happens is once they come out, when they're struggling with depression, anxiety, and everything else before and after coming out, they're not loved and they're not taken care of by their so-called new, quote, glitter families. So what is this about yet again? Kids, stop reducing human people to their sexual interaction. Stop exploiting kids and stop damaging their innocence. That's what this is all about, and what's so important for us to understand, which is what leads me to the third thing. How do we respond as Catholics to this Pride Month? If you're just joining us, you're listening to Trending with Timory. The question is, we have to be able to engage in conscionable objections to the gay pride agenda, whether it's during Pride Month or it's all year long. You see, I walked into Banana Republic recently and I was checking out, and the checker asked if I wanted to make a donation to GLSEN, which is a pro-LGBTQ education program that goes into public schools. I knew what GLSEN stood for. They just said it was children's education, but I, as soon as I heard the words GLSEN, red smoke coming out my ears. I was so shocked. I also was right at the beginning of not feeling good and had a crying baby with me, so I wasn't able to, at that moment, engage in a conversation with the employee, but my question wanted to be this: do you have to promote that program? Do you have to invite people to make a donation to this program? Are you required to, or is it by choice? I don't know if it was by choice or not. Done a little bit of research. It's not exactly clear. It might be different from company to company. But here's the reality. If you're a checker at a grocery store, you're a cashier at Banana Republic, you should be able to do your job without having to play politics or fundraise for organizations and entities you don't support. You were hired as a cashier. You were hired to stock shelves. You shouldn't have to do it. And I think that that's really important for us to emphasize. But there are some clear concerns going further than this that many of you are sending questions in now with regard to what do we do going into Pride Month? What do we do with some of these examples and experiences we've had? I'm going to come right back here taking your questions about how we can respond as Catholics to Pride Month. The number's 1-888-914-9149. Or you can also ask your question on Instagram and social media as well. Head over to relevantradio.com/trending. Click on the contact page or give us a call. We'll be right back. Also, I'll share with you about a viral valedictorian speech from a high schooler that you should know something about. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Coming up, I'm going to be sharing with you a valedictorian speech, switcheroo. This young high school graduate changed her speech on the high school. She had an approved speech. She changed it up and used her platform as what she viewed it as a platform. You're going to want to hear this, so don't go away. I'll share that with you in just a little bit. We are also going to be discussing the pill and the health impact of the pill and how many people are saying due to vaccine side effects, it's left many women wondering why the pill isn't safer and has been left, let's just say, as is for so many years. We've got a lot of questions coming in regarding how to respond as Catholics to the Gay Pride Month. If you'd like to ask a question, the number's 1-888-914-9149. One question that came in via the phone, Anne from Maine, said, what are your views on homophobia? Great question. Homophobia is always wrong. To be anti any person is problematic. And I think that it's really important that we emphasize that. And unfortunately, in and outside of the church, we do see people, individual people, who are homophobic. The church isn't homophobic. Individual people can be. But I think that we have to be careful to just throw a blanket term of homophobia on people. And I think that's the truth. When people treat someone as if they're disgusting and they can't be in their presence and they're very, I would say, offensive or rude to individuals, sure, I would call that homophobia. But just because you object to two people of the same sex getting married, or just because you object to two people of the same sex adopting a kid, or just because you object and are uncomfortable to two people of the same sex engaging in very outward and uncomfortable public displays of affection, that doesn't make you a homophobe. And I think that's important to recognize. Why is it scandalous when two people of the same sex engage in public displays of affection? Because it creates confusion and scandal for kids. Why, I think, should we object to the idea of marriage being between two people of the same sex? Because that's not what marriage is for. Marriage is oriented toward the procreation and education of children. And I'm sorry, the sexual complementarity is not there unless there are two people of opposite sexes. And that's what's so important. A man and a woman. Marriage can only be between a man and a woman. And when we take it out of that context, there are so many physical, emotional, and psychological health impacts that are occurring. And we need to tell the truth to both adults and kids about this. So is that homophobic to talk about how there's a purpose for the body? To say that marriage is meant to be in a particular way? I think that that's really important for us to recognize, that telling the truth isn't homophobic. How we deliver it? Sure, that could be perceived as such. That's why we have to work on talking about people. And I think that this is where there's a key point as people of faith that we have to recognize. People may struggle with same-sex attraction, but people are not gay. Gay is a lifestyle, not an identity. And so we need to recognize that just as lying is an activity that we engage in, it is not an identity. And it's very important that we don't define ourselves or others according to our sin. Patrick just commented, well, what do you do if you're accused of being homophobic? Well, I think it's a good challenge to check what does my language and my tone sound like. That's a great thing to start off with. But then two, the reality is, people call me homophobic all the time, and maybe you think I am. I would love to hear from you why you may think I'm homophobic. Sure, let me know. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Patrick and Lucas are laughing right now. We'll see if we get any calls on this. I would really love to hear. As long as you can calmly share with me why you may think I'm homophobic, sure. Because I'd love to be able to respond. But if you're being accused of being homophobic, A, check your tone, check your language. But B, stand on the side of truth. You know, I gave you three things we can do as Catholics to respond to Gay Pride Month. And number one was, it's about kids. We're causing scandal and confusion and damage to kids. If you didn't get to hear that, the podcast will be available in a little bit. Head over to relevantradio.com/trending where you can check that out. Okay, so we have other questions coming in. For example, Vicky just messaged me saying, I want to share an experience I had at work today and how it made me feel. She said, as I drove up to the parking lot of my workplace, I saw the USA flag along with the rainbow gay pride flag. I feel offended by it. What should I do about it? Is there anything I can do? I don't like feeling like this. Please pray for me. Okay, this is a great question, and it also comes on the heels, if you may have heard, of the U.S. Embassy to the Vatican hanging the LGBTQ flag right next to the American flag. Now, this move has actually come after President O'Biden has given... Did I say O'Biden? Oh my gosh. Obama, Biden, anyways. President Biden has given authority for U.S. outposts to actually display the LGBTQ gay pride flag right next to the American flag on the same flagpole, in fact. Now, many people are outraged over this in their businesses and their workplaces. What do you do? Whether you're a Banana Republic employee who's being asked to promote a donation to a pro-LGBTQ education program for kids that's dangerous and harmful, or maybe your business is hanging a gay pride flag. I think that it's important that we can respectfully have conversations with managers of saying, you know, look, I'm in the business of selling cars. I'm not here to promote a politically divisive program or ideology. I think that's okay to say that. You don't even necessarily have to say where you stand. I think that it's important for us to see that we don't have to get into the dirt and like the grime on this issue, because here's the reality. I know so many pro-life nurses across this nation who have been faced with the challenge of being told they need to give out the abortion pill or contraception, and they've had to go through with conscientiously objecting. And in many cases, when they go to their manager and clearly and simply just state, I'm not comfortable subscribing birth control pills or abortion pills, often the managers will say, you don't have to deal with that. And in some cases, they reevaluate their processes and programs at their health clinics. Now, that's not always going to be the best case, and there will be times where more action has to be taken. But often, if we can clearly say, I don't want to participate in this, we will be allowed to. We are allowed to make conscionable objections. And if you find yourself in a situation where you're being forced to promote abortion, contraception, or Gay Pride Month, I want to encourage you, contact places such as the Thomas More Society, Freedom of Conscience Defense Fund. They specialize in freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Our religion doesn't just belong within the four walls of our church. Also, we have the right to free speech, and we shouldn't be compelled to forced speech by our employers. That's very, very important. So great question. And Elena also asked, she said, I'm in a new workplace, just started a new job, and don't want to alienate myself with regard to the LGBTQ kind of announcements and push this month. I just want to encourage you to emphasize what business you're in, what job you were hired to do, and that you weren't hired to promote a divisive political agenda that you don't want to be a part of. You don't even have to say your stance. Just say, I don't want to be in the middle of this type of political agenda. And so again, I'll just emphasize St. Thomas More Society and Freedom of Conscience Defense Funds are great programs. If you find yourself in murky water with your business, I just want to encourage you to check out a heroic example as well. The heroic example of someone who's telling the truth. Tanner Cross in Virginia is actually suing his school board because he doesn't want to lie to kids about being male or female. New programs being pushed there in Virginia are encouraging teachers to lie to kids about their biological sex, and he's saying no, and so he's fighting back. And I think we need more people to tell the truth, fight back, and to engage lawyers, often some of them who are free, who are willing to help you fight for your religious freedom, to not be forced into compelled speech, but especially to tell the truth to kids, because this agenda at this point is about kids. The LGBTQ community made it about kids, not us, because they're forcing it on school curriculum, in kids' TV shows, and so much more. Watch what you're bringing into your home. We have a caller from California, Ted from California. What do you have to share with us today on Trending?
Oh, yeah, I really like your show today. I don't get a chance to listen. I'm not working today, so I can hear your show. So what I really, one thing is, in 2015, it was in 2008 in California when they had the Proposition 8. People were talking about, well, this won't affect kids at all, you know, the same-sex marriage. And it's affected society so much. And children are number one in the debate. And then the other thing was that years ago, I just heard this, it just came to my mind and said that homophobia, that's a political word, not a medical diagnosis. Anyway, I just agree so much on what you say, and it seems like everybody is afraid to speak about it because, you know, now a lot of people that it's just culturally not wise, you know, to speak about it because people are afraid they're going to be ostracized.
Right. That's Ted from California. Ted, thanks for listening to Trending. And you're right, Prop 8, the battle in California, even California. California in 2008, the people voted on the proposition. It was Proposition 8. And guess what? They voted to uphold marriage between one man and one woman. And guess what? Many other states across the nation had propositions. They had laws that were written on the books. And that Supreme Court decision in 2016, Obergefell versus Hodges, overruled the decision of the people. And it's important to recognize this. And what's happened? This is impacting kids. It's denying kids a right to their mother and their father. And homophobia is being used as a politically charged word. It is not something that in most cases is being used correctly, even though there are people who can behave as homophobic. And if you are accused of that, check your tone, check your message, but don't throw the truth out. Truth is so important. You know, there was another caller that came in. They didn't want to join us on air, but they said, why are you promoting freedom of religion when you're pushing your own religion on every other American? Great question. I actually haven't used my religion in any of these arguments having to do with objecting to Gay Pride Month. So please go back and listen to this episode, relevantradio.com/trending. I've not used my religion, okay? And I did this intentionally. Why? Because the body tells the truth. The body has a purpose. Male and female complementarity only works. You want to talk about the increase in sexually transmitted diseases? You want to talk about the impact of physical damage, of friction that has impacted body parts because they're engaging in ways that shouldn't be engaged with? I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you the truth here. People's bodies are physically being damaged. Their souls are hurting. You talk to people who have lived that lifestyle for years. Sure, there are moments of happiness, but what we're looking for is lasting joy, long-term engagement. There's rampant cheating in the LGBTQ community. And yes, sure, there can be faithful and committed relationships. I have family members, extended family members, who have had lifelong partners who have been a part of my family. I love those people too. Does that mean that what they did was right? Not necessarily. And I think that it's important that we're able to talk about this from both a religious and non-religious perspective. What we're talking about at the end of the day is what's right and healthy for the body, and especially what's right and healthy for kids. And the reality is, kids need a mom and a dad. You see, saying that marriage could be between both two men or two women, it didn't just make it about the marriage of two men and two women. It wasn't love is love. No, what has happened? The LGBTQ agenda has been promoted, pushed, and forced on kids. It's being pushed into the educational system and so much more. So I think it's important that we recognize I haven't been using my religion to talk about this the whole time. But there are days where we have that conversation. It hasn't been today. You just happen to be listening to Catholic Radio. And guess what? Nature, science, faith, they all complement one another. And that's the great thing of our faith, that faith and science don't contradict one another. And so often when we really dive a little deeper, we see that and we're in awe when we see the truth. We have more questions coming in. A quick question, Caitlin, businesses to support that don't support Pride Month, Chick-fil-A, I believe Cracker Barrel, ExxonMobil for I think over 15 years straight, I'm not sure if they still are not supporting gay pride. And also, I think one of the best ways to do this, and this is a great thing to do, you know, people are hurting today because of COVID. Support local businesses, and many local businesses, you'll see, are or are not hanging gay pride flags in their windows right now. Choose what businesses you support. Shop local. The reality is that local businesses don't have the time or the money to be promoting an agenda. And be aware and pay attention to what options you have to donate to at the checkout. If you're not sure 100% about that place to donate to that they're offering to you, don't do it. There are plenty of great organizations that you can donate to and set up reoccurring donations to, such as Relevant Radio. Head over to relevantradio.com and where you can make a donation now, and you can support a great organization that you know and love. So again, shopping local is a great idea. Another question came in from Christy on Instagram. How do you explain to an 11-year-old that premarital sex is a sin for anyone and that the church doesn't hate gays by saying they object to same-sex interaction? Great question. You're talking to an 11-year-old. Emphasize that only a mom and a dad's bodies were created for one another. Everything else is physically harmful and dangerous. That's the truth. The truth is that the impact physically that I was just speaking of with regard to physical activity with two people of the same sex is damaging. And so if you emphasize to kids from a young age that only mommy and daddy's bodies were created for one another, that's a great way to start. And it's a simple idea. And depending on how much your kid is aware of, you can continue to go on. But just emphasize how the body was created and how it was a good thing. Focus on the good things. Tell the truth. That's what we're called to as parents and as people of faith. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. We'll be right back discussing how side effects from the vaccine has led to many women wondering why the pill, that is the contraception pill, isn't safer. We're also going to talk about a high school valedictorian speech that went viral despite having submitted the speech and then changing it on her high school.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back. It is a Friday. Thanks for listening. If you're unable to listen to the whole episode, you can head over to relevantradio.com/trending. Catch up, listen to the podcast, subscribe, take us with you this weekend. And I would encourage you to share on social media why you love trending and tag us, especially on Instagram. We'll repost that if you post that on your Instagram story. We'd love to share why you listen to the show. You can head over to relevantradio.com/trending under the contact page. We have a couple questions and comments. Ooh, I think Mary just dropped, but Mary in Southern California, I just want to add it. She said that in the academic world, there are deeper issues that are prompting the LGBTQ lifestyle, that she's engaged this and has in fact been bombarded in both a philosophical and ideological areas. And I think it is important to recognize that it's not just kids' TV shows, it's in academia, it's everywhere. And that's why many people are frustrated by it. Another caller, off-air caller, commented, she said, the media doesn't talk about the promiscuity in the LGBTQ community, and also that the rates of oral and anal cancer is off the charts as well. Yes. Why? Because the body parts aren't meant to work that way. I will leave it be at that. We spoke about this more in depth earlier in the show. Head over to relevantradio.com/trending to listen to the full show. Listen, there was a valedictorian speech that went viral. I'm going to share that with you in just a moment, but I do want to briefly touch on this, and I keep saying we're going to discuss it more, but I think it's a very important topic to address. Many people have been mentioning how the vaccine side effects have left many women wondering why the pill isn't safer. People have reported some of the vaccine side effects, everything from intensity of blood clots, miscarriages, to concerns about the lack of information surrounding fertility. Much could be said about that. There's a lot of lack of information. There's some people that do totally fine, but there are people who are having side effects. But I think that what's interesting is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine sparked a lot of debate because there was a hold put on it for a period of time due to blood clotting in women under the age of 50, specifically blood clotting in the brain. Now, what happened is there was a New York Times article addressing this, emphasizing that vaccine side effects has left women wondering why the pill isn't safer. And I just want to say thank you. I'm so glad that someone is saying, hey, the pill is hurting women, and why are we sitting by and letting this continue? But what's sad is that the information still isn't out there. The New York Times tells a story, for example, of Kelly Tyrell, who is an endurance athlete, ended up having calf pain in her calves. She had some blood work done that showed that blood clots were present. She was then just told that she had anxiety. She started having aching in her lungs. And next thing you know, her lips were turning purple. And then all of a sudden they do a checkup on her, and she has multiple blood clots, and the blood flow is actually cut off to part of her right lung. But what's fascinating and sad is that then she decides to opt for an IUD instead of taking the pill. But people aren't telling the truth about the side effects of the IUD as well, such as infection. One woman I know personally had over a year of hemorrhaging, intense bleeding in her body from the IUD. Many women have perforated uteruses from the IUD. In fact, IUDs, copper IUDs, were taken off the market for years. Both copper IUDs and plaster versions of IUDs have been put back on the market. I don't know why. Big pharmaceutical companies having too much money and being able to pay off for these side effects and consequences that women are engaging in. It's bad for women. And people, and specifically women, are being taken advantage of by the IUD and the pill and so much more. Many women are regretting that they took it. And many women later on, such as many friends have been unable to have children years later after being told the pill's fine for years. But then some people are told, here, just take a pill for anything. For example, one woman in this New York Times article was put on the pill at age 18 for migraines. For migraines. I'm sorry, but I am sick and tired of women being prescribed the pill for health issues. Just because you can give us a pill because we have cycles doesn't mean that that's going to treat the underlying health problem. And in fact, this is why I love NAPRO technology, NAPRO doctors, and fertility care practitioners, which, by the way, we'll post a link to in the show notes, because it's important that we're addressing underlying health issues and not just using the pill as a band-aid to cure migraines. This is unacceptable healthcare. And here's the reality. This woman, like many others, was, okay, well, after years of being on the birth control and seeing their side effects, then they're going on the, quote, low-dose contraception pill. But the problem is that there was even a JAMA study done, a well-known and reputable journal that actually addressed in it, specifically the low-dose pill that had this different chemical makeup surrounding progesterone and contraception. And what this JAMA study did is in the JAMA Psychiatry publication, they emphasized how depression and birth control were linked together. It basically confirmed what women have been saying for years. Hormonal contraception makes women sad. In fact, women who are on the low-dose pill were 23% more likely to be prescribed antidepressants when they were on the progesterone-only pill. This is ridiculous for us to even see that this is so bad, yet we're not talking about it. The pill isn't healthy. Women deserve better than hormonal contraception that's causing severe blood clots, that is a group 1 carcinogen, and is causing horrible interpersonal interactions between men and women and leaving women exploited. I keep saying we're going to do this, but we will talk about this a lot next week on Trending, about how the pill is impacting women from a health and interpersonal perspective here on Trending. But here, I've been wanting to share this with you. There was a story from a valedictorian. The speech has gone viral. Okay, you've got to listen to this. She took her speech and it was approved because, you know, you can't trust a teenager today to actually give the speech that they say they're going to give. So they have to have their speech approved. So Paxton Smith, she was a valedictorian at Lake Highland High School, class of 2021, and she did a last-minute switcheroo. She's upset. And here's what she did, unapproved by her academic institution, for her speech.
I have dreams and hopes and ambitions. Every girl graduating today does. And we have spent our entire lives working towards our future. And without our input and without our consent, our control over that future has been stripped away from us. I am terrified that if my contraceptives fail, I am terrified that if I am raped, then my hopes and aspirations and dreams and efforts for my future will no longer matter. I hope you can feel how dehumanizing it is to have the autonomy over your own body taken away from you. And I cannot give up this platform to promote complacency and peace when there is a war on my body and a war on my rights.
Oh my gosh, this girl went viral because she's upset over the Texas abortion law going into effect soon this fall that bans abortion after 6 weeks. There's not a baby that could be involved, is there? There's not another human person that could be a boy or a girl. She doesn't consider that, does she? Okay, before, I have only eight things. I want to talk about a lot more, and I have just a couple minutes I want to say on this. So here goes. Number one, honey, you are the valedictorian, not at an all-girls school. And I think it's important to recognize that. What about all the men, young men there, who are also graduating? How about you speak to them too and be a little more thoughtful? I'm just saying, it's not just about you. Here's the deal. She essentially emphasizes the whole idea of consent in her speech, that she didn't consent. Consent to what? You see, today people make the argument that they consented to sex, but they didn't consent to pregnancy. That's absolute hogwash. What comes later? Babies. Babies are always a potential. Whether you use contraception or not, we saw over 70% of the women that came into the crisis pregnancy centers were on some form of contraception, and yet they were still pregnant. And I think that that's very important to recognize. And she tries to claim that this law in Texas is a decision about her body and her future being made by a stranger. No, it should be a universal guiding practice that a human person is a person from the earliest stages of development, and no one should have a right to kill you, honey, as an adult, nor a child in utero developing, just because they're in a different stage of development, a different degree of dependency, in a different environment than you yourself are. I think that's important for us to recognize. Then she talks about how basically not having access to abortion destroys her and other girls' future and dreams. That's not true. I graduated high school. I have an undergraduate degree. I have a master's degree. I'm working in the education field of my choice, which a lot of people can't say that matched up to what they studied. I think that's important to recognize. Not because I deserve a tap on the back. I say it because, ladies, we do not need contraception and we do not need abortion to live out our hopes and dreams. And it's important to recognize that you don't always get everything you want. You don't always get to achieve every dream and every hope that you hope to achieve. Abortion access isn't the thing that allows you to have a future. No, America's all about the pursuit of happiness. Our religion is all about freedom, the freedom to do good, to do the right thing. And I think it's important that we learn and emphasize this as a society, rather than having access to do quote-unquote whatever we want, even when they're little people who are dependent upon us for life and breath. And yes, that is terrible and horrifying, because we do have to address the issue of rape. If someone is raped, but that doesn't mean that the child should receive a death sentence when even the rapist hasn't received the death sentence. And in fact, in all cases, we see that when a woman who's been raped has an abortion, she does not do better, because what happens is she starts to identify with the perpetrator rather than being a victim because of the abortion itself. So psychologically, it's very damaging for women to go through with an abortion after having been exploited by someone. So it's very important for us to recognize that you are never autonomous when it comes to pregnancy. There's another human person present, and this viral valedictorian speech has allowed you the opportunity to have a conversation about just a handful of these things I just mentioned about why abortion is wrong and women don't need it. I'll be back with you Monday for our weekly happy hour. Have a great weekend, and head over to relevantradio.com/trending to listen.